Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Brian!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Minus the Brian this afternoon, he's all tired out from two shows in a row. We had to send him back to doing the hard work of programming some of the new stations that we've got
Savage.
Online.
All plum tuckered.
Not necessarily tuckered out, but just enough in his daily routine that could not make this time available to be on air because he's hard at work doing many, many, many other important things. But I am joined by Evan on the board and you on the phone lines. You can join the show at any time. Share your tangent, 844-967-2789. You can call or text that number. Those lines are open all hour long. I want to thank Kristen Bry, who on this network was just finishing up As Goes Wisconsin, along with Tom Hartman here in Madison for the lead-in. If you are listening to this program, you may be listening on Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM in Madison. I'm broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios, but you're also hearing my voice on the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, and Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. That's 98.9 FM, 1230 AM, and locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. So for all of those new listeners in the new signals that we have launched this week, welcome. This is Dueling Tangents. No Brian this afternoon, but I promise to share a number of Wisconsin headlines, promise to try to relate them as best I can. A little bit later in the hour, we're going to get into a story about an MVP here in Wisconsin thanking a questionable item, I guess. We'll discuss that a little bit in his acceptance speech. He didn't actually say it in any award show or anything like that, but there's a new story out about Aaron Rodgers, quarterback MVP for the Green Bay Packers, thanking us a particular substance. So we'll dive into that, as well as Tim Michaels, Republican gubernatorial candidate for governor. Gubernatorial candidate is for governor, yep. Here in Wisconsin, Michaels in that primary next Tuesday. He's flip-flopping back and forth. An interesting piece over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that I'm going to dive into a little bit later in this hour as well. But up first, somebody that doesn't have a primary opponent on the ballot, at least not a serious one. I guess I haven't thoroughly looked to see if there is a Republican challenger in the U.S. Senate primary next week. But Ron Johnson, running for re-election, the incumbent senator here in Wisconsin. Wisconsin's senior senator. It's a hard word combination to say multiple times back to back. But Ron Johnson is where we're going to start today because there's a couple of stories that put him smack dab in the headlines again this week, and an interesting stance on a few different things that I don't understand. Does he know that he's running for re-election? I'm not quite sure, and maybe you'll question whether or not he knows it either after this story. Because up first, this week, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson was calling, and this is a headline over at the Wisconsin State Journal, Alexander Scherr writing it over at the State Journal, Ron Johnson calls for turning Social Security, Medicare into discretionary spending programs. Now, Evan, you and I are both relatively young guys. We've only been paying into Social Security for, a couple of years, maybe about a decade now. Over a decade. So we're still younger, less skin in the game than some other Wisconsinites out there, say in their 50s and 60s, that are getting close to that age where they can retire and start to accept the benefits that they've been paying into for their entire adult lives, some even before they turned 18. And so I don't know if this sentiment is shared among the listening audience or not, but I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on it, because Ron Johnson wants to put these programs, Medicare and Social Security, on the chopping block for annual budget negotiations. He doesn't want to leave these programs to be mandatory spending.
And he would say, no, no, it's discretionary. We're not getting rid of it. This just makes it so we can be nimble.
No, no, no. Discretionary just means that you can debate it each year, that it has to be voted upon.
Yeah.
And it has to be passed yay or nay. Again, this is the man who just voted for June 14th. The PACT Act came across the U.S. Senate. It was the act to allow military veterans to be able to receive medical benefits for being subject next to burn pits that the U.S. military was burning while they were on active duty. And so these burn pits had all these toxic chemicals. And they find out that there are cancers and other diseases associated with the individuals that were around these burn pits. It should be a no-brainer. It should be 100-0. If there's one senator missing, maybe 99-0, I would take as an acceptable vote. But Ron Johnson voted for it on June 14th. 88 senators, actually. There were still some defectors that did not vote for this back in June when it first got to the U.S. Senate.
Yeah, and that was a spite thing.
No. This was 88 senators for. They voted. He voted for it, Evan.
Oh, in June. But he's in. Yeah, yeah. No.
So then, this is the whole thing. There's a budgetary aspect to it. It had to go back to the House. They had to do a little reconciliation between the two bills, make sure that the U.S. House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate were passing the same bill. So that change was made in the House. They passed it in the House. It came back to the Senate last week. And Ron Johnson was one of 25 senators that then hung up that because it wasn't discretionary versus mandatory spending. He voted not to give veterans health care because he wanted it to be a discretionary. He held that up.
They
he delayed
just want
that.
Veterans to be able to express their constitutional right to sleep on the Capitol steps. They have that right, Luke.
Evan, the fact that it has it's just depressing that we had U.S. veterans that are waiting for medical care, and some of them may die in because of the delay that was from last week to this week with the PACT Act passing the U.S. Senate. And it is ridiculous to believe that if that was the vote of a number of Republicans, including U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, to delay that vote and then ultimately come around, they delayed it for the stupidest reason. They delayed it because they got in politics. They passed the CHIPS Act, which again was a bipartisan effort to boost computer chip manufacturing here in the United States, and which we should want to do. We should be able to invest in U.S. manufacturing, shore up our supply chains, and be able to make sure that going forward we don't experience the same problems when it comes to computer chip manufacturing as we have over the last 2 years that the COVID-19 pandemic has shown we're susceptible to. And U.S. Senator Ron Johnson voted against that. He voted against a bipartisan manufacturing bill that would bring more manufacturing jobs back home to the United States of America. He voted against that. He voted to delay getting veterans health care with the PACT Act. And so he wants to now just float the idea. I'm just saying, it should be discretionary spending rather than mandatory spending. And all that means is Ron Johnson wants to be able to play politics with the Social Security and Medicare for Americans that have been paying into these programs. He calls them entitlements. It's the stupidest classification of a government program ever. For conservatives to claim that they're entitlements into a program that you've been paying into. You want to know what I find is a really, really tough entitlement? The fact that Social Security gets capped at, I want to say, it's just around $120,000 or $130,000 a year. Ron Johnson makes more than that in a year. I believe a U.S. senator makes almost $200,000 a year.
That's just salary.
And that's just salary. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's making millions off of his private. I don't know how much he's doing it now, but when he sold off, he spent $9 million to run for Senate originally and got a nice cushy cash out of $10 million shortly thereafter. But his day job, U.S. Senator, makes more than $200,000, or right around $200,000. I'd have to pull. I know the average House member makes about $175,000, so I would believe U.S. senators make more than that. So I'm not going to quote the exact number what his salary is,
But he gets capped. He's beyond that cap for Social Security. But he gets the same benefits that somebody that's been paying into the program, say at an $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year gig, gets to claim as well. I think that that's pretty terrible. I think we should raise the cap on what annually you have to pay into Social Security. If you really want to call it an entitlement, if you're paying less into it at that point per check, per what you're making, that seems pretty entitled to me. But the senator doesn't want to talk about that. We could lower the age for Medicare and make it more accessible and help reduce costs with a larger pool. But I don't think the senator supports that. He's just saying that he wants to, you know, debate these issues in a hyper-political landscape that it would almost be impossible for the U.S. Senate to pass without a filibuster. They'd have to do it through reconciliation then. And it to subject Americans and to put uncertainty on programs that you have been paying into for decades and make that part of the political process every single year is asking for trouble, and it is asking for the Americans that need help the most to not receive benefits if somebody like Ron Johnson chooses to pull a stunt like he did with the PACT Act last week. It is ridiculous. It is upsetting. And I don't know if Ron Johnson knows this, but I'm pretty sure the Wisconsinites that he would like him to vote for this fall in his reelection bid, a lot of those Wisconsinites depend on programs like Medicare and Social Security. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon, but I got Evan on the board and you on the phone lines. 844-967-2789. If you want to keep up with the show, you can follow us on Twitter at Dueling Tangents. We're also got some podcasts going. You can check them out at devilradio927.com. We're also on Spotify and Apple now, wherever you like to download your podcast. So you can check us out on those platforms as well. Got a number of other Wisconsin headlines that I want to dive into throughout the day. And I got a little bit more on Ron Johnson. Something else that he's looking to stall in Washington, D.C., it looks like. This is Dueling Tangents. Going to get to your phone calls as well coming back from this break. 844-967-2789. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Brian's off doing very important programming and lifting up the satellites. So, like, some days I feel bad for him because he's just got to, like, stand there and hold the satellite up.
He's like Atlas. Yeah. He's just got it on his shoulder. Yep.
Yeah, the Atlas. Yeah. That would be the worst job ever, just having to be, like, stand there just right to, just like, bringing in reception to it.
We need large
old TVs.
Large men.
Oh, I can't imagine hiring for that. That's just, but this is what we need you to do. This is your job. We need you to hold this satellite just right. No. He's off making important updates to all of the fine stations and signals that you are listening to this program on. Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM here in Madison, broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios. Also on the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. Locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, that's 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, and Bull Falls Radio in Wausau, that's 98.9 FM, 1230 AM. This is Dueling Tangents. Now, getting to get to your phone lines, but this is the other phone calls, excuse me. This is the other Rojo story that kind of broke in the last day or so. And this is the headline over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, written by Lawrence Andre, or Andrea. I don't know how the last name's pronounced. But Ron Johnson expresses concerns over same-sex marriage bill as senators consider changes for GOP support.
It was weird, man. He came out like early, and said, no, I support same-sex marriage.
No,
No. He may support it for individuals. He never said that he supported codifying this bill, though, which he was very quickly to point out. He said, I don't see any reason to oppose it.
The court's not gonna, I don't know. His mealy-mouthed sort of answers there say everything I needed to hear, just that.
I mean, his response to this one, I would assume, especially if, like, the Wisconsin's other U.S. senator is anywhere in range, Senator Tammy Baldwin.
And
like, I can't imagine, like, the Marco Rubio story of him being like, oh, it's a stupid waste of time, and then jumping in an elevator only to turn and see Senator Baldwin there.
Oof.
I can't imagine what that would have been like. Like, jeez. But Senator Johnson was quickly to point out, oh, no, I never said that I supported it. I just said I saw no reason to oppose it. And apparently he's found some reasons to oppose it.
Sure.
So this is all in the light of Clarence Thomas, Supreme Court Justice, after the Dobbs decision overturning Roe v. Wade. He signaled that there were some other landmark decisions that the conservative U.S. Supreme Court should go back and reconsider, including Obergefell, which is allowed same-sex marriage to be recognized here in the United States. Very similar to Roe v. Wade, it was the national... It was holding the national line on this policy. There was nothing codifying the right to an abortion in federal law, and therefore when Roe v. Wade got overturned, it sent it back to the states. Now it sounds like Clarence Thomas and possibly some of the other conservative justices on the U.S. Supreme Court want to do the same with same-sex marriage. Send it back to the states, which Wisconsin does have a constitutional ban on same-sex marriage, just like it has a constitutional ban on the right to an abortion, or that is to be determined in the courts. And so it's pretty troubling to hear that, oh yeah, I see no reason to oppose it, as from Senator Johnson, and then as Senator Baldwin is whipping votes to try to pass this, because she needs 60 votes. She needs 10 Republican votes to be able to overcome the filibuster in the U.S. Senate. And so she reported earlier this week that she thinks she's got 10 soft votes. But the hard part is no Republican wants to be that 60th vote. So she's looking for 61 or 62 votes. And now that she's looking for those extra kind of give coverage to the Republican senators, it seems like there's some wavering support, including from U.S. Senator Ron Johnson here in Wisconsin. Going to get to the phone lines up first this afternoon. We got our friend Jack in Merrimack calling in. Jack, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, well, I love Johnson's approach to entitlements. First thing I'm going to say is all these Republicans that talk about entitlements don't understand the meaning of the word. Entitlement means something you're entitled to. So if you buy a car and you get the title to that car, you're entitled so you can use that car. Same with a house. Well, we have paid into a prepaid retirement plan called Social Security. We have paid into prepaid medical care called Medicare, and we are entitled to those programs. He's damn right about that, and I'm going to be pretty incensed if anybody attempts to steal that money, because, of course, the Republicans would like to have those trillions of dollars in the Social Security Trust Fund. They'd sure like to be able to give those away to their billionaire buddy. So, yeah, I'm pretty irritated with Johnson, to say the least.
And Jack, when it comes to this issue specifically, when you hear an elected official like the senator talking about it as an entitlement, but giving it the negative connotation, not the entitlement aspect that, like you described, where you've paid into it, so yes, you've earned it and it is yours, they make it sound more like, oh, these are entitlements that, like, oh, everybody expects them, but you don't necessarily have to. It's discretionary whether or not we send them out this year. What do you think that strategy is when it comes to trying to get reelected? Is that courting votes in Wisconsin, do you think, Jack, or do you think this is a pretty crazy strategy by the senator?
I think he's courting his billionaire buddies and the millionaires and, you know, people like the Elines and such that are, you know, already paying him millions and bribe, excuse me, donations to support him for a third turn that he said he wasn't going to take.
Yeah, so that's an excellent point, Jack. I really appreciate your call. Yeah, I mean, he swore that he would only run for two terms, but he got the billionaire donors about $80 million each, I think, in tax breaks for just, you know, a couple million dollars in donations to his campaign, re-election campaign in 16. So why not try to do that again? Lightning maybe will strike twice. Maybe he'll be able to get all those billionaire donors even more return on their investment. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We'll be right back, getting back to your phone calls, 844-967-2789.
I'm so happy, cause today found my friends.
Welcome back. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, minus the Brian this afternoon, but got a little Nirvana coming back to this break. Evan on the board and you on the phone lines. Quick headline, national news. We got the United States, the Biden administration, is declaring monkeypox a national health emergency.
It's gnarly, man.
So I believe that will help get the resources out to public health officials across the country to be able to better address the outbreaks. But it's something definitely, and I believe I saw roughly almost 900 Americans died yesterday. Alone from COVID-19.
Oof.
So not only do we have to now face this second public health crisis of monkeypox, but we also are still dealing with COVID-19, the BA5 variant specifically. But it's pretty crazy news out there. So stay safe, folks. If you feel like you need to put a mask on after 2 years of this, I feel like there are events that you go to where you're just like, yeah, it makes sense to wear a mask.
If I'm going
to
be around people that I don't see on a regular basis, I'm wearing a mask.
Yeah.
Period.
Crowded area still, I like to wear a mask.
Yep. And it's for my old man, you know? It's for the people I live with. That's really
I thought you were pointing at Crudy in that direction.
No. No. He'd kill me. I'd be dead already.
I know. I'm joking. Folks, welcome back to Dueling Tangents. You're listening on Devil Radio 92.7 FM in Madison, the Shaw 101 FM in Waukesha, Bull Falls Radio 98.9 FM in Wausau, and locally grown radio 97.5 in Wisconsin Rapids. So we talked a little bit about Ron Johnson. We're going to continue this conversation with some phone callers and then going to head to some other headlines here. So up next this afternoon, we got Mark from Prairie to Sac calling in. Mark, what's on your mind today?
Well, I think, yes, we have to hang this attack on Social Security around every single Republican's neck, because unless they're coming out and condemning what Ron Johnson is proposing here, it's part of their platform, pure and simple.
Mark, it is the platform. This is the platform. This is what the Republican re-election for Senate campaign committee or whatever their long term, Rick Scott and the senators in the U.S. Senate that are trying to get Republicans reelected, the most vulnerable one being Ron Johnson here in Wisconsin. Like, data has shown that.
Yes.
That he's the only Republican senator running for reelection in a state won by Biden in 2020. And so he's definitely the most vulnerable, but he's running on what their party's platform is. That's what they want to do. Republicans want to make Social Security and Medicare discretionary spending rather than mandatory spending.
And this is from top to bottom Republicans. We have to hang this around their neck. I realize that there is some Republicans in our state legislature can't vote up or down on Social Security, but we have to hang this around their necks as well and scare the bejesus out of people that lean Republican vote and say, Republicans want to take away your Social Security and your Medicare. Pure and simple. Tell them that it doesn't matter that they're just still in the state. They support taking away your Social Security and Medicare. And because if you two guys right there, young guys, but if you got injured tomorrow and were disabled, you would be you'd collect Social Security, you'd collect SSI benefits, because my dad had to do it for like a year back when in 1970 we got injured by a drunk driver, that and he was eventually able to go back to work. But this is what we have to tell people. We have to open their eyes to the fact the Republicans do not believe you are. that you should get this money that you've paid into the system for. We're all paying into the system. No, they don't pay into the system, a lot of them.
Well, they get a cap on it, at least. Off. Yeah, it cuts off at a certain point.
It cuts off at a certain point, but you and I have paid our entire life. We paid, you know, I'm retired now, but I paid my entire working career into Social Security. It didn't ever, it never cut off. And why the heck it should cut off for anybody? This is part of a price of living in a society. I mean, for there's a number of rich people out there that say they're perfectly happy to pay their taxes, and we'll just take the cap off. You want to solidify the system, you take the cap off and say, this is the price of living in our society. You don't like it, then get the hell out and you'll leave your assets behind you. Go to Russia or go to China, and you can be your little oligarchic self there, but your assets are staying right here.
Appreciate the call, Mark. And it's an interesting... I just thought about raising the cap, not necessarily doing away with it at all, but, I mean, that would also, you know, be a way to address that, but... It is interesting. I think one of the more local, close to home things you could say for state Republicans, though, and something to hang around them, is the fact that they could expand Badger Care. They could expand Medicaid here in Wisconsin and save. We're missing out on billions of dollars from the federal government if the state Republicans just chose to expand Badger Care. And they refused to do it. It would provide more coverage for the Wisconsinites that need it the most. And it's costing the state money not to expand it. But still. Republicans aren't going to do that. And that's something that we can definitely point towards. It's a little bit more close to home. But yes, at the national level, this is essentially the Republican platform. It is what the individuals in the U.S. Senate that are trying to reelect Republicans are running as their platform. Appreciate the call, Mark. 844-967-2789. You can be like Mark or our friend Jeannie up in Eau Claire. Jeannie, what's on your mind today?
Great show, great comments, Mark. Outstanding as usual. You know, I don't even know why in the heck these people are even representing American citizens. I mean, people need to open their galding eyes. They're being really idiotic. These people don't give one iota about anybody except their buddies. And they could care less if people get injured on the job. I mean, what they make people go through when they get injured on the job. And or if they get unemployed or, you know, as they get older. I mean, it is ludicrous. And, you know, and some of those people, some people out there who think, oh, you know, well, we really don't need it. Or remember, everybody has aging parents. And all of you who are just barely making it as it is, imagine having more people living in your home. Or where do aging parents go as they cut off all these things that people have invested in their entire life? I mean, they're robbers. No ifs, ands, or buts about it, you know? And the way that they spend taxpayers' money, just like Gableman, you know? Well, let's take from the streets and roads and other things that we should be paying for as a society and people pay their taxes for. Well, we'll just pay Gableman some money. Poor guy don't have a job. You know, we'll just spend a little over here and give our buddies so, you know, they got money to return into our coffers. You know, we're going to give them big tax breaks, and then guess they can take that money and put it back into us. It's kind of like a real circle of friendship there between the wealthiest people and that are getting their work done by these people who are getting money for the campaigns. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, Jeannie, I don't know if you caught this one on a little side tangent there for James Bopp, the attorney representing Michael Gableman in these open records requests, the one that he lost last week in Dane County and had to pay $163,000 in legal fees, and the Wisconsinites are picking up that tab. Of those legal fees, James Bopp, Gableman's attorney, representing him in the losing case, guess how much he was charging Wisconsin taxpayers an hour?
How much?
$450 an hour.
Wow.
That is what James Bopp, the attorney for Gableman, is charging. And Gableman's allowing that. Gableman went, and James Bopp is probably just like, oh, well, how much do you think we could get per hour for me? And Gableman's just like, I don't know, throw out a number, and then just accepts it. Like, it's insane to think that there's not a cap on that. That there's not a cap on how much a Wisconsin contractor can pay an attorney representing a state worker like Gableman, because he's a contractor of the state. He is being paid by Wisconsin taxpayer funds, and there's not a cap
on the attorney's fees that Gable, for the type of lawyer that Gableman wants to go hire to represent him for doing a really bad job at Open Records. Like, that's why Gableman needed a lawyer in the first place, because he's incompetent in his job. And then he goes and finds an attorney that he's charging the state taxpayers $450 an hour to work and lose.
Insane. I hope everybody wakes up. This is ludicrous, and they better get out there and get these people out of office and take back our state. Hey, thanks, guys. Keep up the great work. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeannie. Yeah, appreciate your call. You have a great day. And it's really, it is just when you hear those side tangents, it's crazy to think about some of these things, because it's hard to stay focused on it all. Like, I missed that one initially. Like, when Gableman's attorney's fees, it was just, there was so much going on. It's like, oh, okay, another $250,000 added to Wisconsin taxpayer bill from the two court cases. That's two of four court cases. If it stays up at the same rate and Gableman loses the next two Open Records cases here in Dane County, it's likely that that could add another $250,000, bringing it up to just $500,000 alone, which was nearly Gableman's entire budget, which, again, he exceeded in just attorney fees. $500,000 potentially in attorney's fees for losing court cases because he's just bad at his job. He didn't keep the records properly, and then he didn't report them when requested through Wisconsin Open Records. I don't understand how that's allowed to go on. But I also don't understand how Ron Johnson thinks he can win re-election on running on some of these things. It could be a really easy year for Ron Johnson to get re-elected. Like, everybody, all of the conservative callers talk about how a red wave is coming, and the burden there, the hurdle to overcome re-election for Ron Johnson, if he took a reasonable approach where the Wisconsin public is on same-sex marriage, if he did the reasonable thing and said, yes, these veterans that were subject to burn pits deserve to have care. I'm not going to play politics around that, and I'm going to make sure that they get the care they need. If he was just not trying to play politics with Medicare and Social Security, the guy could probably just walk to re-election come November. Wisconsin is a very 50-50 state. If you take the politics and you put it aside and you do the common sense things that Wisconsinites want to see, that should be really easy. But he's taking the wrong approach on all of these issues, and he's just going to rely on those billionaires that he's siding with to drop a couple $100,000 or a couple $1 million right before the re-election campaign on ads the 2-3 weeks leading up to the November election. And that's what he's banking on, because that's what worked in 2016. So I don't understand the positions he's taking, but it's pretty frustrating to see, oh, I see no reason to oppose same-sex marriage codification in federal law. That doesn't mean I'm for it. I just didn't see the opposition, why I would oppose it, and now I do oppose it, and potentially going to delay that guarantee for same-sex couples in Wisconsin and around the nation to be able to have their marriage protected. It's mind-numbingly upsetting. We're going back to the phone lines, 844-967-2789. We got our friend Ken in Stoughton calling in. Ken, what's on your mind today?
Dr. Ron Johnson and Social Security, and I think the Democrats should make hay out of it. One of his constituencies is amongst the elderly that are supposed to vote for him are self-employed people. Any self-employed person, carpenter, lawyer, if they're an individual person, they pay both shares. They pay both halves of the Social Security, FICA, Medicare, all those types. So they pay 14%, not 7%. And if I were independent contractor, if I were a carpenter that paid in all these years, I sure as hell wouldn't want Ron Johnson or anybody else deciding that, well, this year we don't really need to fund Social Security. I mean, that's, you know, they got double their money in the pot compared to the rest of us citizens. So but somebody needs to make them aware that here's what Ron Johnson is doing. He's screwing you over by doing this, not your liberal friends in Madison. You know, because you're paying in twice. You're paying your share and the employer share, and you got twice the money at risk.
Yeah, that's an excellent point to point out the individuals that have double skin in the game on that one, Ken. I appreciate that, and that's how it gets. It's upsetting that is what it would come down to, though. It would be a political game, just like this PACT Act last week, of say Senator Johnson wanted to hold up because there was a Democrat in the White House and a Democratic majority still, but he had the ability to slow things down and filibuster something.
He would allow Social Security and Medicare to be a bargaining chip on that political table. Not guarantee it for the millions and millions of Wisconsinites and Americans that have paid into those programs for years, that have earned those programs, that earned those payments. He wants to be able to say, this year I'm only going to allow that to happen if I get this tax cut or something along those lines. Folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon, but got Evan on the board. You on the phone lines. One more segment left in the day. 844-967-2789. Give us a call. Share your tangent. We'll be right back. Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon, but that's okay. I got Evan on the board. Plenty of great phone callers so far this hour. You can be like one of them. 844-967-2789. But Evan, enough with Ron Johnson. Because there's another punchy bag that we can beat up on, and then going to do that quickly. Just do a real quick shadow boxing round, nice. I guess, against a flip-flopper. Little flip-flop. From Tim Michaels.
No, you don't say.
You don't say. The candidate that doesn't really stand for anything, just wants you to believe that he stands for what you stand for, but so that you'd vote for him through the primary, and then he's probably going to completely change his image again if he makes it past next Tuesday's GOP gubernatorial primary. That is one Tim Michaels. Tim, it's a pretty excellent piece over by Daniel Bice, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Tim Michaels is outraged over the Keystone XL pipeline cancellation. He felt differently in 2019. It's a pretty long story that not terribly long story, but the work by Daniel Bice over at the Journal Sentinel just is excellent. And it essentially does Tim Michaels and Tim Michaels 2.0 and then goes back and forth. And Tim Michaels, it very similar, reminded me of the Daily Show back in 16 when Trump was running for the first time in the GOP presidential primary, and they just had a bunch of talking heads of Trump on the same subject, just all the different viewpoints that he's had on it. And it was a very excellent piece the Daily Show did then. Very similar vibe with Daniel Bice's piece over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And it pretty much just goes back and forth about how Tim Michaels is now a new Tim Michaels 2.0, and he's leans harder to the right. He opposes gas tax hikes. He supports the right to work and vows no public benefits for, quote, illegals. That Michaels is squaring off next Tuesday's primary. Bice goes on against Rebecca Clayfish, with the winner taking on Democratic incumbent Governor Tony Evers. And Bice just outlines the fact that now is that he's running for governor. Michaels is outraged that President Joe Biden canceled the construction permit for the pipeline in January of 2021. And so it just goes back and forth about how back in 19, Michaels was talking different about that specific topic as well. So just one more flip-flop again. Michaels, we don't really know what he stands for because he's taken so many different positions on these so many different issues between when he was a construction executive living out in Connecticut. And now since he's moved back home to Wisconsin, running in the GOP gubernatorial primary. But the other interesting headline, outside of the flip-flop in Michaels, because that's not all that interesting. I think it's important to talk about, but it's not surprising. It's very much par for the course for Michaels in this primary. He's changed his position or has just been like, I don't know, and just kind of left it for you to decide what you think he stands for. But the other interesting story that I saw, I'm going to get back to the phone lines after I share this one. Aaron Rodgers is crediting... Is it ayahuasca, Evan? It's ayahuasca,
yeah,
right?
Ayahuasca, ayahuasca. Yeah, you got it. Tomato, yeah. You know? You okay. Feel me?
He's crediting that as what spurred his MVP, back-to-back MVP seasons.
See, and I'd think that that's what spurred his drastic and intense right-wing bent to, you know, he got insane. And it's because he was tripping all the time? Wow.
I don't know about tripping all the time, but apparently he's saying that the psychedelic, hallucinogenic, whatever it gets classified as, is what...
Yeah, a Schedule One narcotic, yes.
Yes. The crediting the plant-based psychedelic for helping produce two of the best seasons of his career thanks to a change in mindset and improvement in his mental health. I think that's a terrible message to send.
Man, I like
that's such
this
a bad
so
message
little.
To send. Like, yeah, kids, you too can do back-to-back MVP seasons. Just go partake a little ayahuasca. Just that's what you need to do. And not the fact that, you know, he brought in a new head coach, a new offensive system for these last couple seasons, and then once they started to work and the system was working, he performed better because he's an excellent player. But I'm sorry, I don't believe that it's ayahuasca. Maybe it's his outlook on life that he's seeing that he's taking better care of his mental health. But
well, he woke up. Don't you understand? The veil has been lifted. He understands now. You know, he understands
that Matt LaFleur is really good at coaching an offense. I don't know what to tell you. Like, yes, Aaron Rodgers is good at
throwing the
football,
yes.
and being quarterback. He's an exceptional talent. He is very talented at that position. But when he plays hero ball and only looks for Davante Adams before, I miss you so much, Davante. I miss you so much. But he only looks for Davante Adams in those big games like the NFC Championship and plays hero ball. Those are the games they lose. When he sticks to the scheme, they go 13-3 or 14-3, whatever it is now. And that's what he does. And it's the scheme that I think you can credit the MVP seasons on, not necessarily the psychedelics.
Sure.
But,
okay.
I mean,
feel you.
I mean, that's just my opinion on the take. Like I said, we're going to get back to the phone lines, though. Hear your opinion on the take. We got our friend Joe in Madison calling in. Joe, we got a couple of minutes here before the end of the show. What's on your mind today?
Just returning to Senator Johnson and his efforts to put a stake into the heart of Social Security and Medicare.
No, Joe. He just wants to make it discretionary instead of mandatory.
Right.
Come
they
on.
They have the right to sleep on the Capitol steps.
Right. So what you're looking at it at is every year, folks, the system that you've paid into every year, you've had that 7%, or as the other caller mentioned recently, those who are our independent contractors, such as somebody who's in construction, builds houses, they're looking at 14%. Every single year after they take care of the military, they'll look at you'll just be among the items that maybe will or won't be funded. So the money that you put into a system is not guaranteed to you, even though that's the deal. And so maybe you're expecting $2,000 a month because of what you put into Social Security. That year they might give you $1,000. They might give you $800. They might give you $300. It depends. And good luck figuring out your life in retirement when it comes down to it depends. It depends on whether Congress decides that you're worthy enough to get your full Medicare benefit or any at all. I mean, they want to stick a knife into this, and this is their way to start. So be forewarned, people. This is just, it's a part of a long-term play to badmouth Medicare and Social Security, and we know that those programs work. Thanks a lot, guys.
Really appreciate your call, Joe. Yeah, I'm being pretty facetious when I say, oh, no, the senator. Like, his view of, oh, yeah, I'm going to make it maybe discretionary rather than mandatory is just, it's
fortunately,
so bad.
That argument, it just, people don't hook into it. People don't, when people hear you talking about mandatory versus discretionary spending, they're out, dude. They're turning out. They're
gone. It goes over their head. They're like, oh, I don't want to, yeah, it's ridiculous to think that would be accepted in good faith. And I think it's important to call out the bad faith. So I appreciate that, Joe, because it's a ludicrous idea to believe that those programs would be left on the bargaining table every single year. I believe it's insane. I just don't understand. And he's running for re-election. He wants to get Wisconsinites votes. I don't get it. Folks, this has been Dueling Tangents. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. Like I said, on Spotify, on Apple. You can check us out also on devilradio927.com. I'll be back tomorrow too. Talk to you then.